It can be difficult to throw things away. I know I recently touched on this because as recently as just maybe a week or two ago, we went through the church and we threw away over 4 tons of stuff. Now, I don't know if it all weighed exactly that much, but I do know that a 3.5-ton, 4-ton dumpster was full out there from bottom to top, side to side, back to front. It can be tough to throw things away. It was funny because Bishop Palomo called Katie Eckenrode, and Katie was in charge of all of that because when Katie's in charge of things, they get done in Jesus' name and hallelujah, thank you. Katie was in charge of all of that, so it all got done. And the bishop said, Katie, you need to know that I'm not going to be at the clean out because that's the best way that I can help you. The bishop is a good man, and he has a hard time throwing things away because he can see things as if they were still useful. Does that make sense to you? Like he says, that could be of such use to someone if it had all of its wheels, if it wasn't rusted out, and if it wasn't broken in half and actually falling apart. That could be of such use. He can just see the value of what things could be if somebody took the time, the energy, and the resources to make it into what it used to be. And I can totally understand that. I get it. Every once in a while, I've been married, it's 14 years, and it'll be, I've been married for 14 years. And every once in a while, throughout that entire time, listen, you have to understand, we've only been living in our own house for the past six, almost 7 years. Before that, we lived in college-provided housing. And you would think in college-provided housing, because yes, we basically lived in what was a residence hall room, slightly expanded for lots of years together, you would think there's just not a lot of stuff you can put in there. I reject that idea. I think you can absolutely collect tons of stuff over time. Every once in a while, Christina will just say, okay, it's time, it's time. And we go through the house and we throw junk out and stuff that is still good, you know, we'll donate. Fortunately, there's a Planet Aid. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's basically like, well, you know what it is. It's just called Planet Aid. You can see their boxes around, especially in Baltimore. And if you've got good stuff, not junky stuff that's falling apart, but good stuff, so we'll take that stuff and we'll donate it. However, since we have owned this home, when it is time for the great clean out, there is one place we do not go. That is the basement. Because the basement is my domain. That is my area. And over the years, listen, just hold on before you judge me. Listen, my dad was a bit of a collector. That's what we almost hoarders call ourselves. We call ourselves collectors. My father was a bit of a collector. And the house that I grew up in was a split-level house. You don't care what that means, and that's fine. You would walk in the door right where you parked the cars, and the first room to the right was a closet. And in that closet, very well organized, was junk. Just the most wonderful collection of junk you have ever seen. It was in boxes. It was in jars. My father had mason jars full of widgets and whatsits. Like, if something would come packed in a thing, he would keep the packing stuff. Does that make sense? Because who knows when you might need to repack a thing. We never did. When we left that house, literally my mom made him throw away something like 80% of that. And let me tell you, that was like a dagger to the man's heart. But he did keep the mason jars because they were self-contained and my mother didn't want to strip him of all of his dignity and his, you know, the effort, the years of effort that he had gone to collect these things. So I come by it naturally, sort of. I mean, I get it honestly. I like to collect things. People will say to me, hey, I'm going to throw this out. I'll be like, ooh, I need that. And I know in my mind in that moment, no, I don't. No, you don't. You do not need that. You will never use that thing. That is a thing that spreads fertilizer on grass, and you barely cut your grass. You are never going to use that fertilizer spreader. It's in my garage out now, covered in cobwebs. It has never moved since Jamil gave it to me. Not ever. He was like, I can't take this with us. Do you want it? And I was like, yes. And I had all these delusions of grandeur about how green my lawn was going to be. It was going to be like Augusta, baby. Oh, yeah. I was going to go through there, and we were going to have that blue caterpillar. I don't know what it's called. The really nice, like really tight woven. You know what I'm saying? It's just like a carpet. No, it is still mostly dandelion. Don't you judge me. That thing is just back there, and it is literally covered with, I think there might be some old tools in it. Anyway, I digress. I tell myself all the time that one day I'm going to go through that basement and, like, really clean it. That day's not tomorrow, though. That is not tomorrow and probably not this year. I'm just saying, one day I'm really going to go down there and clean it out. Sometimes we do the same thing in our closets. And clothes are tough to get rid of, aren't they? Because you pay so much for them. If you want stuff that lasts a little while and doesn't look funny, I mean, everybody can go out there and buy tents, you know what I'm saying, that have armholes and head holes, and I wish that that was culturally acceptable, just a giant shirt. Why can't we just walk around in giant shirts? But that's weird, and nobody does that. I would walk around in a bathrobe but get arrested. You know what I'm saying? Just, I wish it could just be something that was culturally and socially acceptable and comfortable. You hate getting rid of clothes because if you want nice stuff, you got to pay for that nice stuff. Especially in today's world where everything shrinks. Why does everything have, they call it Lycra, but it's spandex, 1992, 1987. It's spandex, that's what it is. The idea is that it stretches with you. Thank you so much for that. So it kind of fits a little better and looks a little better, and then you wash it and dry it one time and you give it away to a child because it no longer, do you know what I'm saying? I've done that. I used to get jeans from American Eagle. I know I have no business being in there. You need to, as an adult male, cut that mess out in your late 20s. At around 27 or 28, you're done in American Eagle. Same thing with Aeropostale. You need to stop that mess at around 21 or 22. You just need to stay out of there. But their jeans fit well. So then suddenly, nobody told me this, they shifted into this, we now put, you know, the stretchy stuff in all of our jeans. And I was like, these are incredibly comfortable. They're jeans that you can actually bend all the way down in. And if you know what I'm talking about, if you've ever had a pair of like Levi's on, it gets to the place where you bend and that's it. The material is just like no more. You risk just breaking all of the seams. So if you need something down here, you just kind of need to lean over and get it. Like real denim stops you after a while. I mean, you just can't. So it was great. And I was like, these are wonderful and they fit great in the store or whatever. And then I took them home and I washed them. And I know that it says don't dry. I know that it says don't dry on there, but I was like, I am not hang drying. This is ridiculous. And then they became like pedal pushers. And for dudes, I know you don't know what that is, but that's pants that hit you about mid-calf. Don't know why they're called pedal pushers. But I paid like $50 for a pair of jeans that now are basically long shorts. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. So going into my closet and throwing things away or donating those clothes, you know what I'm saying? Every once in a while, you just got to have that clothing purge because you just accumulate clothes. You just do, even as a guy. I didn't used to. I used to have a shirt and a pair of pants for every day of the week. And then I got married and Christina said, so basically you do laundry what, every 3 days? And I was like, basically. And she was like, we need to get you some more clothes. So I've just fully entered into that whole thing and now buy clothes during the year. And going through there is really, it's really hard to get rid of stuff. T-shirts. After a while, you just collect T-shirts, and you don't want to get rid of them because they're good T-shirts, and you might use them one day for something, or that you got them from a place where there was a thing that you did. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I went there, and I did that, and they gave me a T-shirt, and that you have a nice memory of that day, and you are never going to wear that shirt because it's weird. The design is weird, or people will look at you funny, or it's got the date on it. Why do people put dates on the shirt? You know what I'm saying? 2005. After about 2007, you need to move on with your life. You know what I'm saying? And so, but you love the shirt, but it's dated and now you're dated. And like, why are you wearing that 15 years later? It's weird. It no longer looks right. Pants that you used to look really good in. You used to look really good in those pants. But over the years, let me be careful, you have grown as a person. You know what I'm saying? Like the years of life have passed and you've continued to grow and expand your horizons. You know what I mean? You used to look great in those pants. And now, if you're in them, you can't breathe. Or, in order to get in them, you have to jump off of something. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to get on, then you put your feet in, and you just jump off, and you snatch up, you know, really. Which is, that's terrifying, because that's dangerous, because we all know that once you get the button buttoned, it's just like waiting. It's like, I can't hold it! I can't! And you're going to kill someone with that thing. You just try those pants on alone, just in case that thing shoots off and embeds itself in the wall. Pants you used to look good in, shirts that are really comfortable that you got, you know, they have a lot of memories. I used to have this flannel shirt. Oh, man, just remembering it, even now. I used to have this flannel shirt that was the most comfortable piece of clothing you or God has ever known. I mean, it was literally, I've never worn anything more comfortable. And it was, why is flannel just sometimes ugly? Like, sometimes these designers, they're like, I have an ideal for flannel. And it literally looks kind of like, and you'll excuse me here, vomit in lines, you know what I mean? It's like somebody was like, what if, like the most disgusting mess ever, was made into an intricate network of lines? Let's put that on a shirt. And then they put it on the most comfortable clothing ever, and you just have to have it. And you can't wear it outside because literally people like steer clear of you, or they start to blink like you're blinding them with that terrible shirt, and that's fine. I had one of those shirts, and it was this flannel shirt that just after a few years was the most comfortable thing ever. If you know, if you wear clothes long enough, and if you wear a certain type of or a particular garment after a while, it literally, they're not meant to last forever. And so it's like your body starts to try to consume it, like it literally begins to break down. You know what I mean? Like it gets thinner and thinner. Like sometimes a shirt that used to be a shirt, you can now see people through. I don't know how that happens. It's like after a while, all of the stitching is just like, well, we had a good run. It was 10 years and we're done. And it just also, all the hems just sort of unfold, which is weird. Like the collar goes wonky. 1 minute it's together and it's just hugging your neck. And then after a while, it's like, I no longer care to be with you. And it just sort of, so where once was a t-shirt and now it's almost a dress type of deal. You know what I'm talking about. It was the most comfortable shirt, and I had it for years. And every once in a while, Christina would say, it's time for the purge. And I would be like, you are absolutely right. And she was like, you know what has to go. And I know what she meant when she said that, because every time I would wear that when she came home, she wouldn't speak to me. I'm not kidding. Most of the time when she came in the door, she'd be like, hey, babe, how was your day? If I was wearing that shirt, she'd be like, and just walk to the room, because she just was like, why are you still wearing that? It's disgusting. You and I both know that. Even if I washed it, it didn't matter. It just, you know. She would be like, okay, it's time. It's time. We got to throw our stuff away, and you know what needs to go. And I would be like, absolutely. But I managed to squirrel it away for years and years after that. Just years and years. Maybe you've done that a time or two. Everything has got to go that's old. Out with the old. Just kidding. Just kidding. We say that to ourselves. We say it's time for stuff to go, but there's just something about that thing. There's just something about that article of clothing. There's just something about that. We just can't quite bring ourselves to just do with it what we need to do with it. Some clothing, by the way, doesn't need to be donated. You just need to throw it in the trash, and that is brutal. That flannel shirt didn't go to a new home. That flannel shirt went in the trash. Just in the garbage. I remember standing there looking at it, literally feeling some type of way with a lump in my throat, like, that's it. I will never have anything that comfortable. By that time, of course, literally like the armpits were gone. I'm not trying to be gross, but you know what happens? Like it starts with a few holes and then suddenly it's just a gap. There's just nothing there. It literally was like a rag that I just sort of laid on myself that had two or three buttons left on one side. It was awful. It needed to go. I threw that thing in the trash because sometimes it is so hard for us just to get rid of the old stuff. It's hard. For whatever reason, we have the attachments. Clothes wear out. Shoes, when you can break in a comfortable pair of shoes. I was watching Family Feud once, and you know they go out and they do all of those whatever, and they ask 1,000 people. We asked 1,000 people what, blah, blah, blah. And the number one answer, this is an item of clothing that someone wears until it falls apart. Number one answer, shoes. Like 60% of the people that they asked that question to said, I wear my shoes until they just fall apart. When you have a pair of comfortable shoes, man, you are just loath to give those up. When I find a pair of shoes that fit well, that are, again, culturally and socially acceptable, I'll buy 2-3 of those pair. And after a while, Christine will be like, those shoes just keep getting newer and newer. And I'm like, you just hush it. Because they're comfortable and because they fit well. I have a weird shaped foot. My left foot is smaller than my right foot, and it's skinnier toward the back, but I have this really wide part right by my toes. And so Nike scoffs at that. They're like, no, you got to have a ski foot. It's got to be straight and narrow. You can't have any right. And then there's these other shoes that are really comfortable, but you're not supposed to wear those until in your 70s or 80s. No offense to you folks. They're super comfortable, but dudes my age, nope, that's not supposed to happen because it has Velcro. You know what I mean? Like, that's not supposed to go down that way. Velcro shoes, by the way, are what we're all wearing in heaven. I don't know if you know that. There will be no laces. Thank you, God. It'll just be, you're in and out of them. That's it. You're done. Done. Shoes wear out, but we just keep them until literally people are beginning to wonder if we're having some type of socioeconomic problem. You know what I'm saying? They're just being like, I'll buy you some new shoes. And you're like, you shut it. These are just great. It's literally just the rubber that you have duct taped around your foot. It's literally the sole of the shoe that you're now wearing like a flip-flop. These things, you feel good in them, and they fit you, and they feel like they're a part of you, and they have this incredible sentimental value and meaning. And we know you'll never be able to replace that thing. You'll never find a sweater that looks that good that fits that good. Never. Some of us have clothes we never wash because we don't want it to shrink or fade. We just keep spraying it with like Febreze and hoping that no one notices. It's just so hard to get rid of these things. I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 4 today. Ephesians chapter 4. I had an opportunity to speak at the IV on campus on Thursday. IV group, and they call themselves Ohana. And when I asked them to go to the, I was like, I want you to go to the scripture. I actually heard paper turning. Listen, that did my heart so good. I was like, you shall be the dead in Christ who rise first. You guys, those of you who read the paper Bibles. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be in verses 20 through 24. I'm going to be reading out of the New American Standard. We'll read the verse, we'll give you a little bit of context, and then we'll just chat for a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That sounds like a lot, and let me give you some context. Paul is writing to the Ephesians because they're struggling. They're struggling to stay straight. They're struggling to keep it together. They're struggling to follow the way, the truth, and the life and stop doing all the old dumb stuff. Listen, I talk to you all the time about how faith cannot be a to-do list because that's Old Testament and that is Old Covenant. Your faith cannot be about the completion of a to-do list because if it's based on your ability to do all the to-dos, you got no chance. You got no chance. Our faith is about relationship. It's not about the list of to-dos and the don'ts. It's not. However, there are things that you can get involved with in your life that once you come to Jesus, probably you need to put away because they will not be helpful for you. They will not be helpful to you. They're going to run at cross purposes with this new life that you now have. There are things that we get used to doing. There are attitudes that we have. There are habit patterns that we assume. There are things that we do that are going to cause you trouble. They cause us trouble because they just can't be a part of who we are because of the freedom that God provides. They just can't. They run you to the wrong places with the wrong people at the wrong times doing the wrong things. So Paul is saying, listen, it's about the grace and mercy of God to this group of people. It's the same thing that he says to everybody. It's about grace and mercy. You can't earn it, folks. This is the gift of God through Jesus Christ, freedom from sin. However, you've got to make a decision about the things that you do and the words that you say and the places that you go. You've got to change your behavior because if you don't, these habit patterns will keep you held down and you're going to be what I like to call, the place I like to call hell on earth, which is knowing the truth and unable to live it. That's hell on earth. When you live in the conviction of the Holy Spirit and also the condemnation of the enemy, when the Holy Spirit is saying, come back to me, and the devil is saying, you'll never be good enough, that is an awful place to live. I lived there for a lot of years. That's an awful place. When you know what's right, but you just can't bring yourself to do what's right because all of this stuff has a hold on you. That's what Paul is talking about. He says, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. That self literally means man in the original language. You lay aside the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, that you be renewed, and then you put on the new man. It's like Paul is saying, you've got to realize that there's a new you that you've got to step into. There's an old you that you have to step out of. I found it very interesting. I was looking around, I do a lot of research, and I was looking for a good illustration for you, and I thought, this is pretty cool. Here's this person who's going to put on this new, right? And it says, put on the new self, and it says in other places in Scripture that we are clothed with Christ. He becomes our clothing. Literally, we become clothed with him. He comes on us and around us. And here's a person who is running to this weird white tchotchke-looking thing that is holding this very nice white coat. And that's great. But that's just the second half of the verse. As I was looking at this, I was like, this is a really good illustration. Something on the page of images caught my eye, and I clicked on this. That's very interesting. Because it's not just about moving to the new. It's about moving away from the old. It's not about, and I'm going to use good and evil here, but bear with me. It's not about moving into the good. It's about moving away from the evil. I know that those are big concepts, but I'm using them intentionally. It's not about just being better. It's about leaving behind the worse. Does that make sense? And that sounds intuitive, doesn't it? Who does not want that? Who does not want to think, Of course, I want to put aside my old self. I do not want to be this old person that is so self-focused and so does not care about how what I do or what I think affects other people. I just want to be me. I'm going to do me, you do you. If me bothers you, that's on you, not me. That's how we want to be. If something about me rubs you the wrong way, just don't be in my vicinity. If something that I do causes you trouble, stop looking. If something that I say bothers you, stop listening. I'm going to do me, you do you. And if who I am bothers you, that's on you, not me. That's your problem. That's really what we want to think. That's true. That's hard. But we desperately, especially when you come to know the Lord, you want to be the best version of yourself. You want to be 2.0. So you want to move out of that old way of thinking, an old way of believing, an old way of acting, an old way of blech. You want to leave that behind. And you want to move into this new self. Of course I want to step outside of the old man like a husk. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever found I call them cicadas. That's what I call them. So when I was a kid, I remember I was fascinated the first time. I live in Georgia, and they are plentiful there, and they make a racket. Anyway, we also have pine trees, and they seem to love those. Doesn't matter. I remember being in the woods, and I remember walking past this tree, and I thought there was a bug actually on the tree. And so I did like most normal people would do. I screamed and jerked away, because that's what you do. That's what you do when you see a bug that's like right here. It's right in your field of vision, so you yell. I don't care that you're a 9-year-old boy. You yell, and then you run away, and when you realize no one is looking, you can slowly but carefully approach it. And I realized it was just the husk, but it was like completely formed. Like you could see where the bug's eyes had been and where its head-ish thing, and then there was its body, right? And it's even its legs, which were still, you know, gripped onto the piece of bark. And there was a seam that would have, I'm calling it body parts, but you know what I'm saying? It was like on the back of its head that ran down its back, like all the way to its nether, whatever, back there. And there was like this seam, and it was almost like the bug had just been like, I'm done with that. And just left like this hollow version of itself stuck to the tree. That's exactly what I want for me. That's exactly what I want for my faith. That is exactly what I want people to see when they look at me. I want them to see this new and improved, self-sacrificing, loving, compassionate, compromising person. I want them to see this new person. I want to just be like, ugh, I'm done with that. I want to step out of that. But I am so comfortable in that skin. It fits me so well. And yes, it is smelly. And yes, it looks more like a rag. And yes, the armpits are just completely burned out by the, you know what I'm saying? It has fallen apart. The collar doesn't fit anymore. All but one button is gone. Every one of the seams has just been like, and we're done. And it's just, they're just hanging. What's left of the seams is just hanging. And you know when the seam goes, the fold doesn't go away. Have you noticed that? The fold stays there. It's just weird because then it looks like you unfolded something and left the crease as if you're trying to make a new fashion statement. It's weird. And I know that that's that old me that is so comfortable and so hard to step outside of. But the problem is this. Paul says, which is being corrupted. Here's the thing about you and me. The process of corruption, the idea that sin ever stops doing its work and stops mucking us up and making trouble for us, that process never ceases. Never ceases. You wonder how sometimes you watch something on the news and you see something horrific about something that a person has done. They drove their car into a dozen people and killed half of them. Back in my day, it was a woman who had left 2 children in her car and drove it into a body of water and let them drown. Somebody who takes a lot of lives, you wonder how that happens. You just think in your humanity, there's no possible way I could do that. Please help me let me help you understand. That is the continuing process of the corruption of sin in your heart and in your mind. I'll never be like that. I'll never get there. But I guarantee you, you'll make dumb decisions at some point. You'll be like, how did I ever get here? How did I ever do this? The process of corrupting your old person, your old man, is never over. The devil, the enemy, never gets to the place where he's just like, I think I'm done over there. I think that's good. Nope, absolutely not. And in order for you to get to be away from that, to stop that process, you've got to step out of that old you. You got to just shed that thing. I don't know what that weirdo thing is hanging on to the old gray jacket, But what I think it is it's kind of like a personification of what Paul calls the lusts of deceit. Here's the thing. All of us are driven by our own needs, and all of us face these little voices within us that say, if you just do this, you're going to be okay. If you just do that, you will be happy. What you need is this, and if you have this, then you will be fulfilled. I've got to have that thing, or I've got to have that person, or I've got to have this goal, or I've got to have this achievement, or I need this award. And what this old man, this old self, this old raggedy coat tells us is, if we have that thing, that's it, we're done, we're fulfilled, we will be happy. And here's the problem. Those urges and those needs are so deceitful because you have that thing, you go to that place, you get involved in that relationship, they give you that trophy, and you are shocked to realize that it's not enough. Oh my goodness, this did not totally complete me as a person. I still have wants and desires. I still feel less than. I still have a problem with insecurity. My anxiety, just not only is it not better, it's now worse. I thought I was depressed before. Now I'm really depressed because I thought for sure this was going to be the thing that made me whole. And if this didn't do it, what in the world is going to do it? It's deceitful. That thing holding on to your old self is always telling you it's just around the next corner. It's just around the next turn. It's just at the new job. This job is awful. You are, in your own mind, crucified every day. If you could just get that new job, it's just going to be like, it'll be like heaven. You'll walk in there and everyone will be like, we're so glad to have you. We've been waiting for your knowledge. Teach us! You know, that's, you just keep thinking. If I could just write, or relationships. You get into a relationship and it's wonderful, and over time it degrades just like everything does. And then after a while you're like, this thing stinks, but I bet that over there is what I need. I need some of this, but I need it in a brand new package. I need it to look like that. And so we break this relationship and we get into that relationship, and for a minute, man, it's great. And then suddenly you realize, wait, this is going to degrade just like everything else does. It goes from being this beautiful thing to a thing that you no longer fit in, a thing that stinks and is smelly. It just happens that way. I think it's very interesting, though, and I want you to hear this. I think this is very interesting. I think it's very interesting that Paul says that you lay aside the old man. Why doesn't Paul say incinerate? Why doesn't Paul say it's very important that you take the old man, you kill it, you crumple it up, you put it in a box, you burn that box, you take those ashes, you put them in a rocket, and you shoot them to Mars. And then nuke Mars. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Find a planet cracker, and then once that happens, push it all towards a black hole. Like, why does Paul just say, just lay it aside? Like, hey, guys, just take off the old, ugh, and then put it somewhere where it might trip you up again. I hid that shirt for 3 or 4 iterations of the purge because I just wanted that shirt. And finally, it had to go in the trash. It just had to. Why wouldn't Paul say, and get rid of this thing? Here's what I think. I think that the old self, Paul says to lay aside so that we have a point of reference of where we've come from. And we will always have a point of reference of where we don't want to be again. It's not about the old man becoming this place of temptation. That's not it at all, because we are free in Christ. And once you make a relationship with God through Christ, that's it. That thing no longer has power over you. See that? That thing is holding on. You see the leg wrapped around? That thing is like, no, come back. This is pretty good. No, come back. I haven't wobbled yet. That thing is like, come back to the old way of being. Freedom in Christ is freedom in Christ. Nothing can hold you, not an old way of thinking, not an old way of feeling, not an old way of behaving. Once you have the power of the living God within you, nothing can hold you and keep you down ever again. Not ever. And that's why I think Paul says, I want you to take it and lay it aside so that you'll always have that point of reference. But you've got to step into this new man. It's very interesting, though, because the new person, he says, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Aren't we created in the image of God? Aren't we already, though? Right? Like, just as a human, once the process of life begins, or began, I should say, in my mother's womb, in that moment, I began to image the likeness of God. In that moment. So as human beings, is Paul saying that right now we're not in the image of God? No, not at all. But this old self is a shadow of who God created us to be. And it's only when you go, ugh, you zip that thing down the back and you step out of it that you truly begin to reflect the love, the grace, the mercy, and the sacrifice that was made for you to make you who you are. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. The old self is not in the likeness of God. It's not, despite the fact that we're created in God's image, because of the sin that's part of it. So here's my question to you. If it's true, then we don't ever have to put that old man, that old self, that old piece of clothing back on. Why do you think we choose to do it? Why do we do it? Why does it seem like such a battle sometimes to not put that old thing back on? Because it's so comfortable. We have become so comfortable in our sin and our way of doing things. We've become so comfortable with our habit patterns. This is fine. I don't need to change this. This is not hurting anybody. If I do this thing and it makes me a little happy and it doesn't hurt anybody else, then it's fine. Can I tell you that that's the basic, really distilled version of something we call hedonism, which is a belief system? Hedonism says that there is no God, that we are the most important things in our lives, and that we should do any and everything in the attempt to make ourselves happy as long as it doesn't damage someone else. That is the purest form of the concept of hedonism. If it feels good, do it. Just make sure it doesn't hurt anybody else. Here's the problem. After a while, you'll break that rule. Your old self will break that rule. I'm going to do this. And if there's collateral damage, sorry. I mean, I feel bad for you, but I'm just trying to do me. I'm trying to fulfill me. I'm trying to make me whole. I'm trying to make me the best version of me that I can. I. We struggle because it's so comfortable. But for those of us who are saved, those of us who have faith, those of us who have the Spirit of God living within us, you know exactly how uncomfortable it can be. So here's what I'm going to pray for each and every one of us today, that we would become so uncomfortable in our skin that we would step out of it no matter what it means. If that means breaking a relationship, break the relationship. If that means sucking it up and going to work and still doing the best job you can, despite the fact that it is the worst place you've ever been, I'm going to pray that for you. If that means giving up on something that you have set your sights on that is so important to you and you realize has nothing to do with anything but your pride or your arrogance, I've got to have this thing because if I have this thing, it means I'm the best. Really? I'm going to pray that that idea makes you uncomfortable. I'm going to pray that if you're in some kind of merry-go-round, mediocre place of faith, then it's going to make you uncomfortable. Part of my problem coming into this whole preacher thing, this whole I'm going to follow God with everything that I've got, is that I wanted to keep small pieces and parts. I'm going to be real transparent with you this morning, probably more so than I ever should, but you guys voted me in. This is on you. This is your fault. I wanted to be able to do things like drink. I wanted to be able to do things like watch certain types of movies or whatever. I wanted to be able to do things like spend my time in places, spend my time in places that I could be there and not get wasted and just have a good time. I like the ambiance. I like all the things that go along with that. I wanted to be able to continue to associate with people. Now, I'm going to come back to this. Put a pin in it. Please hear me. I wanted to be able to continue to associate with people that I had been friends with, that I was friends with. We had real life experiences. Not just that we went out drinking life experiences, but like I went through some hard stuff with, and we had some real experiences together, and there were friendships there. Now, what I've learned is that those people can't be friends with me anymore because how I've changed. I'm not that guy anymore. I've tried to reinitiate some of those old, you know what I'm saying, those really tight, I mean, people that I would have laid down in traffic for, I would have taken a bullet for, and I've tried to reestablish some of those relationships, but they know I'm a pastor, and so they slam all these filters in place. They don't talk the same. They don't act the same. They don't even know how to look me in the eye, some of them. Breaks my heart. I'm going to pray that you get so uncomfortable in whatever habit pattern, whatever thought process, whatever way of being or doing, whatever does not connect you to God, whatever is part of that old self. You can't cut a patch off of this thing and sew it into a new garment. You can't do that. But the collar on that is so much nicer. Blech. I like the sleeves better. The length is, it's either all, folks, or it's nothing. That bug didn't choose to just take all, to leave everything but the one leg piece. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to just bring this old leg piece kind of with me. Snakes are another one. Blech. When snakes shed their skin, it's all of it. They're not like, this one patch here, I dig this patch. It's not how it works. We have to step out of the old selves, and the way that we do that is by just allowing God and the Spirit of God to make us so uncomfortable that we just step out of the old and into the new. And listen, hear me again when I say to you, it does not have a hold on you if you have the Holy Spirit living within you. That thing, whatever it looks like, cannot hold you anymore. Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand the power of this relationship. You don't understand the gravity of this thing that I'm dealing with. Nope, that's in your mind. You can step out of that. You can step away from it, and God will be there to support you. And so will this community. This community of faith is all about supporting people. We are all about loving and encouraging, and we don't care where you've been, where you are now, or where you're going. We love you, and we will stand with you in whatever challenge you have to see your way through. But you got to make the decision. Are you uncomfortable enough to step into everything that God has for you? Father, in this moment, I pray that you would, all of us, God, have these little things. And listen, I'm not trying to be crazy about this. I'm not saying that we have to. I remember as a kid, there was this Baptist church, and they would have book burning parties, and they would have CD burning parties. And there was this idea that all of this stuff, once you became a Christian, all of it had some kind of residue on it, or some kind of potential to keep you back, or some kind of, you can't have this in your house anymore because it becomes some type of idol or whatever. I'm not there, God, in my faith, because I believe that those are just things. I don't believe a thing can have a hold on me. I believe that once I know you, and once I love you, and once you are in me, nothing can keep me from you. Nothing can keep me from living a life of freedom from sin. Nothing can. I understand the thought behind it, though. I don't want to get crazy, Lord. I'm not telling your people, I'm not telling these people, I'm not telling us to change our lives in these, you know, rapid ways. I know that change has to come over time. But I am saying, God, I'm praying that in each and every person here, you would bring to light anything that they are allowing, any piece or part or patch of that old self that they are allowing to stay connected. Just because it's so comfortable, or because it has such sentimental value, or because it fits so well or feels so good. I pray that you would make us so uncomfortable. And I pray, God, that we would end this moment, make the decision to begin the series of events, the series of steps we have to take in order to just pull away from that totally and completely, and step into the freedom, the total and complete freedom that we have in being the new creation that you created us to be. Help us step away, God. Doesn't matter if it's not hurting someone else. Doesn't matter. It's holding us back from being everything that we could be in you. I pray, Father, you would begin that in each and every person here. I pray, Lord, that you would just hound us with it. I pray, God, because each and every person in here just wants to be with you. We don't want anything to hold us back. We don't want any surprises coming from the corners of our minds or the depths of our hearts. We don't want any surprises. We want the light of your love to be shown in each and every corner and crevice and closet. We want to do a full-on purge and clean out. We want everything to go. Help us, God. Help your people, because it's hard. It is so comfortable. Sin is so comfortable. I pray that you would quiet the deceiving voice in our minds that says, don't let go of this, because without this you're nothing. Don't let go of this, because without this you won't be happy. If you stop searching for that, you're going to lose your identity. If you stop reaching for that, you're never going to be happy. You're never going to be fulfilled. I pray, God, that you would cause that mind to be silent, that it will cease in Jesus' name and will no longer bother us again. I pray that the enemy would take every hand off of our situations, that he would be broken from any type of influence in our lives on any level, God. We want to be the new people you created us to be, and so make it so. Give us the strength. Embolden us. Strengthen us. show us that we have the own authority. We have the authority in our own lives. We don't have to have somebody pray with us or for us, although that's important and that's good. We can simply speak to the old within us and say, get out. I'm done. And that's it. That's all. It's enough. You're enough. I love you, God, and I praise you, and I give you all the glory and all the honor, and I ask, Father, that the work that is being done right now would continue outside of these doors, and that you would cause us to become the people you created us to be by leaving behind the old. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.